We've been talking about Home Remodeled for several weeks now in a six-week series. We're on week five. Next week, I'm going to wrap up the messages that I've been sharing. In fact, I hope they've been helpful. We've walked through a few of the Beatitudes to see how those can be applied to our home and to our life. Because I believe that God wants our homes blessed. How many believe that God wants your home blessed? I do. But for that to be accomplished in our lives, we need to listen to God's word and then live according to his word. Amen. Yes. And then your home will be blessed. Now, there's a thought that I brought each week, and I want to bring it again this morning. In fact, start with it this morning. And you've been proclaiming it with me, and I'm going to ask you to say it again with me. We are not, and it starts with kind of a not, but it ends up with who we are. Say this with me. We are not just a Christian home. We are a Christ-centered family. Say it again. We are not just a Christian home. We are a Christ-centered family. The basic thought here is this, that we have to get up to a point somewhere in our life that Christ, that Jesus is not just there for the convenient moments. We don't live for him when it becomes inconvenient. There's so many who begin to back off of their Christian walk as soon as it's inconvenient. Christianity is not just calling on Jesus when you need him or going to church at Easter and Christmas or whenever you feel like it. Jesus has to be not just a part of our lives, he has to be the center of our lives. Just this week, as my brother was sharing with me, he was having a shoulder problem, and it was like, well, that's nothing really big. I drive a truck, it's what I deal with. But a Christian friend of his this past week, mentioned to him and said, well, why don't we just pray about that? He's like, that's nothing big to pray about. And all of a sudden, they prayed about it, and it was healed. And now he's like, I guess I can take everything to God. Because God is not just a part of our lives, he's the center of our lives, church. And the way we raise our children has to be different than what the world says. There has to be evidence around how we live to the people who are watching us. Our values are different than the norm. That's why we raise our children different than the world does. We use our resources, our time, our finances different than the world does. The way we treat people is different because Jesus isn't just a part of our lives. He is our lives. Listen, we're coming up to a season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you have an opportunity to be different than everybody else. Why don't you park a little further away and leave the space for somebody else up close? Be different. When you're rushing to get the item, why don't you take the item off the shelf and hand it to somebody else who's needing it? Yesterday, I was at Home Depot, and one of my girls was with me, and we were there on the aisle, and there was a lady trying to reach for something, and she couldn't get it, and I saw the frustration, and I'm like, I can help. I didn't need to call anybody else. I just reached up, I grabbed it for her. Just respond. You can be different. It's okay. If we're going to be Christ-centered, it's going to make a difference in where we go, how we think, and what we do, church. Let me get to our scripture. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 10 this morning says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you're going to be Christ-centered and be this Christ-centered family, you will be persecuted. That's great news. Isn't this why you came to church today? To hear a little word that would encourage you and build you up and make you feel good? Honestly, church, that scripture ought to encourage us because it's the truth. If you're going to be Christ-centered as a family, you will be persecuted. If you live as a Christ-centered family, what you need to understand is this. People may mock you. They may make fun of you because of your stand for Christ. But as we do that, we bring glory to his name. Now, I don't know how that will play out for your family, but I can tell you it will happen in some way or another. When I was in the military, I was definitely challenged by those who did not believe, which was almost everyone in the military. In basic training, I was the only Christ-centered guy in our flight. There were 50 guys in our barracks. At first, the guys that didn't know what to do with me, and some didn't want to have anything to do with me because I was this scrawny little blonde-headed, I was real towhead back then, 18-year-old boy with a Bible. Here's what happened. We arrived in basic training, and we all had our little satchel things with us, and they told us to empty everything onto our bed. So I did. This was the Bible I had with me in basic training. It's a Thompson Chain reference, King James. It's got notes and all kinds of stuff. So I laid it on my bed, and then they began to come through, and as they did, they were rummaging through everybody's stuff to make sure you didn't have anything you shouldn't have. And they got to my bed, and there sits this Bible, and they just looked, and they passed on by. They got to the end. I thought it was interesting. Somebody else had a set of golf clubs, and he got ridiculed. But anyway, let me tell you something, though. Because of my Christian walk and because of my consistent walk in those 6 weeks of basic training, by the end of those 6 weeks, almost every one of those guys had borrowed my Bible at some point or another. God places us there, and we just need to take a stand. Now, let me jump forward a few years. While I was at college at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, I was part of a traveling singing group, and we would go to different places. And for instance, we actually came to Michigan one year. In fact, our traveling group sang right here in this sanctuary 26 years ago. I never dreamed or thought that I would be the pastor of this church. It's interesting how God orchestrates and directs our lives. But at one point, our traveling group went to North Carolina, and we were in a service there, and after the service, a guy came up to me and said, "You're McElhaney." I was a little stunned. I hadn't been called by my last name like that in quite a while, and realized that was kind of militaristic, and I'm like, I get it. And he went on, and he said, "We were in basic training together." He said, "I remember you." At that point, I really didn't recognize him. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know if it was the no hair thing, and now he had hair. That happens when you get in the military. In fact, I have pictures of me with shaved head. How many like to see that? I can honestly tell you, no, you don't. God makes some heads look really good, and there's others that need hair. Anyway, he went on. He said, "Since basic training," he said, "I need to let you know I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and now I'm the youth leader here at this church." I didn't remember, but he did. Church, our influence is important. Where we are and what we're doing, and we need to live Christ-centered. I want to take you back to week one for just a moment. Anybody remember what we talked about in this series, week one? I'm going to have 1 week series, I think, would be the best way to do this. As soon as I say it, you might remember. How about building from a blueprint? What's the blueprint, church? The Word of God. Building our lives on God's Word, because, church, we got to build our families there. The Word of God has to be the foundation if we're going to have a good building. I know people are going to say, but you're narrow-minded because of the Word of God. In fact, you're not very open to things. You're right, I'm not open. I only open my heart to the things of the Word of God. That's where my standard is, church. There's no life in what the world offers. So we have to build from the blueprint. Week two, we talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Church, if you're hungering and you're thirsting for righteousness in this unrighteous world, people will probably laugh at you. They'll probably tell you that you're missing out on stuff, and you are. You're missing out on all the filth of the unrighteous stuff that will destroy your life. Week three, we talked about blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If you're trying to live with a pure heart in this world that idolizes impurity, just watch TV. People are going to mock you. But there's something interesting. If you walk a pure life, secretly I found out people admire you. Why? Because that's what they want. Week 4, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. If someone strikes you on the cheek, and you turn the other cheek, or maybe you're willing to go the extra mile, maybe you're able to forgive that which seems unforgivable. People may say you're weird. You're a doormat. People, you're letting people walk all over you. What's wrong with you? Church, worldly wisdom will never understand godly teaching. And they're going to mock you for it. So our scripture today tells us it's the last beatitude that Jesus gives. And he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes on in verse 11 and 12. Hear what he says, because it sounds a little unusual maybe to our ears. He said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Make it not just enter our ears, but be activated into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Basically, you're blessed when people make fun of you because you have faith. When you're ridiculed, when you're persecuted for your faith in Jesus, he tells you, great is your reward. Now, some of you are saying, well, okay, what does that mean exactly? I mean, blessed when you're disrespected for doing the right thing and living the right way. I want to take you to the very first illustration of persecution in the Bible. It's found in chapter 4 of Genesis. It's a story about Cain and Abel. Now, we find out that Cain is angry at his brother Abel. Abel was living the right way, doing the right thing, and Cain was not. And Cain's own sin convicted him, and he got angry, lashed out at his brother, and killed him. He didn't kill him because his brother did anything wrong, because his brother did everything right. But Cain was convicted by that right living, and he takes it out on his brother. It amazes me that when people get angry at us, it's because we choose to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. When you're a Christ-centered family, your values will be different than what the world says. Let me define a few of those values for you that should be different. And the world doesn't like it when we live this way. Teenagers, young adults in this place this morning, and you're going to live Christ-centered. You should be saying, I'm going to honor God with my sexual purity. I'm not going to have sex until I'm married. And young people said, amen. And we're going to be challenged with this. And all your friends are going to say, that's ridiculous. Why would you give that up? Why wait so long? It's silly. And they may even make fun of you and get mad at you, but why? Because it reveals their unrighteousness. They need you to give in to it so that they can live the way they want to live. That's the way it works. When we do the right things according to the Word of God, it exposes sin for what it is. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Maybe you've decided, you know what, we're not going to go to the movies that some of our friends go to. And they begin to ask, why? Why don't you go to the movie? Because there's a little poop in the brownie. You remember? Sweetheart, we need to make brownies for the whole church. And you begin to say, I'm not going to just do it because everybody else does it. Let me ask you something. Isn't it interesting that your so-called friends make fun of you because you choose to do something right? They're your friends. Maybe you're so crazy, that you'll say something like this. And I may step on some toes with this one, but here it is. Some say, well, we're not going to put our children in that sports league. And others say, well, why not? Well, because their game days are on the same day we go to church. And people say, how can you put church in front of your five-year-old's future? Just maybe church is a better investment for your five-year-old. Church, we've got to make some tough decisions in this day. I want you to know, see, church, Sunday kind of used to be set aside. When I grew up, I mean, Sunday was church. If they didn't go to church, at least people rested. I grew up where the blue wall was still in. You couldn't even buy just certain things on Sunday. It had to be necessary food. How many remember those laws? You could only buy certain things on a Sunday. We were in Mississippi. We were really behind. In fact, I think it was just a few years ago, they finally removed the very last slave law. Just a few years ago. It was really amazing. But church, we've got to make decisions about how we're going to live. I want you to be Christ-centered in your living. But it raises a question. How do we prepare our families for persecution? How do we prepare our homes and our children to have strong roots in the faith and put their faith in Christ so they can handle the inevitable persecution that will come? I'm going to give you three things this morning I think will help determine this for you and build you up in it. Number one is this. We're going to teach them to expect persecution. So church, I'm teaching you this morning. Are you ready? Expect persecution. Paul told Timothy, this young pastor, Paul is talking to him in 2 Timothy 3:12, and here's what he says. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, what's those last three words? Will be persecuted. Everyone. If you want to follow Christ, you will be persecuted. If your family is going to be Christ-centered in some way, you're going to be different than other people, and people are not going to understand it, and they're going to criticize you for it. Why? Because you're seeking God, you're seeking His ways. But when you choose to live this Christ-centered life, you're going to be different. Your values are not going to line up. Expect persecution. And you're going to be persecuted. People are not going to understand you. They're going to make fun of you. And when they do, just expect it. It's part of following Christ. I'm teaching you. You teach your home. You teach your children. As followers of Christ, we will be persecuted. I believe a reason this is so important for us today, and you need to hear this, is because the persecution in our country has been relatively light. But it's increasing every day. There's a growing hostility toward those who are Christ-centered, for those who have Christ's values in your home. All you got to do is begin to speak the name of Jesus and you see what happens. The problem is this, though. Persecution is not always directly face-to-face. But church, it is directed toward us. And it comes in the forms of teachings that are contradictory to the Word of God, like evolution. It's contradictory to the Word of God. And it's directly affecting our society. For instance, did you know, or maybe you didn't, I'm going to let you in on something, that TV show makers are not Christ-centered? I didn't know if you knew that or not. Just information. Did you know they're teaching ideas and worldly morals? That's why they're pushing the homosexual agenda? Ooh, he said it. Church, these are contradictory to the Word of God. And they're pushing it. And it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And they love to invade your television. Why? To tell your vision what you ought to see. And you need to make a choice. We need to put the guards in place. We need to learn to stand strong in this day and teach our children to stand strong because the heat is going to be turned up. The heat is going to increase. And that's why we've got to have deep roots planted in God's word. Jesus said it very directly in John 15, verse 18 through 20. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Expect it. If we're going to be Christ-centered families, expect persecution. It will happen. Number two, something else we're going to have to learn is to teach them to endure persecution. Not only to expect it, but now to endure it. Paul tells the Corinthians this in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12. He said, when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we're mistreated, church, we don't whine about it. We don't cry about it. We don't gripe about it. We endure it. Respectfully, I remind you this morning, our country is under incredibly light persecution in light of what happens in the world. Just this week, the stories in the Dominican Republic, we prayed for Christy here, and the mission she was at, someone lit it on fire and it burned down. And the girls and those in it had to run for their lives. And it brought an initial fear. It's like, what's going on? Thought she had lost her passport. Did you send them the message about Nisa? I thought this was cool, but they called us. We prayed. We called our girls in Florida. And they began to pray. But it was the passport, because her passport was in that fire. My girl, Anissa, after we called them, they prayed, and she had a vision that Christy was walking back, and amongst the debris, there was her passport. We get a message back from them that she went back, and there was her passport among the debris. Church, we are going to be persecuted, and you don't know where it's going to come from, how it's going to come, but you need to endure it. We don't give up. Now, she was planning on coming home next Thursday or so, and we expect her, and she fulfilled, but she has endured it. She hung in there. When somebody all of a sudden in other places of this world, you need to understand, when somebody professes Christ, in some places they cut your tongue out for it. In other places, and throughout the centuries, this has happened. When people profess Christ as their Savior, they're killed for it. Go back to the early scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. You can read about those in the Bible days, and it still happens today. But church, we don't face that. But could I tell you, get ready to expect it. And not only expect it, endure it. Church, we have got to wake up. This little world that we live in and called America is changing rapidly. And what we are doing so freely today could be taken away tomorrow. And we need to know the truth. When somebody makes fun of you because you decide to go on some missions trip instead of spending your money on some party trip, and they think you're wasting your time, wasting your money, you endure it because you're a follower of Christ. And when you do it, you need to understand, I believe something amazing happens inside of us. God does a work inside of us. When you endure persecution, your spiritual roots get deeper. Your spiritual resolve begins to strengthen. I don't want you just to expect it to happen, but why don't you just endure it? I don't know what will happen over this next season. I was telling someone this. I said, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. Church, I don't want you to just say, hey, I'm thankful. You know what? I am thankful to God. There's a lot of people that live thankful. I'm thankful I got this. I'm thankful I got that. But do you know to whom you're thankful? Don't be ashamed of it. And if people go, well, you don't have to be thankful to God. I'll endure it. Church, Christmas is about upon us. And listen, this is the time in the season I think is the best evangelism moment for you to walk and live. You need to be more Christ-centered in this coming season than probably any other. Easter's a good one too. And probably tomorrow and probably next July the 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th. All of those are pretty good days to live Christ-centered. But church, there are heightened moments that we are given windows. And we need to endure whatever might come our way. But we need to be bold. Our resolve needs to be set. And God will solidify your Christ decision as you stand firm. And you're not living for the approval of other people. You're living for the approval of God. That's it. And if you haven't been persecuted in a while, you're probably at a disadvantage because we grow from persecution. Here in America, the fact that there's little persecution where we live puts us at a spiritual disadvantage. Because all throughout history, when the church is persecuted, the church became stronger. There's a sense of unity that happens, a passion in our hearts, a boldness rises up when we're persecuted. And it begins to weed out those who don't mean it. And it strengthens those who do. And they become more effective living for Christ. Therefore, we've got to teach our families, we're going to be persecuted, expect it. And when it comes, endure it. Number three, teach them to embrace persecution. I want to read to you what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4. And while I read this little portion of scripture to you, I want you to hear the context of which it is written. Peter is talking to a group of Christians. He's writing to the church. And they were suffering and being persecuted beyond anything that our little safe world can understand. For a fact, when a Christian in that day would not renounce the name of Christ, they were put into the center of a Colosseum. And then the lions were released. And everybody would gather to watch the Christians being devoured. Why? Because they wouldn't walk away from their faith. And Peter is talking to this church. He's encouraging them, and here's what he tells them. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I want you to read that last verse with me. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Men of this church, when you're invited after work to go to a place that would dishonor God and dishonor women, take a stand for Christ. Do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. Women, when you get tempted to get caught up in gossip or conversation that wouldn't please God, you take a stand. Don't be ashamed. Praise God that you bear his name. Teens, young adults, when you're challenged to compromise your walk with God, why not take a stand? Do not be ashamed of Christ. Praise God that you bear his name. Church, we have a choice to live blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Church, there's a spiritual battle going on. It's a very, very, very real battle. It's a battle for your soul. Your eternity hangs on the decision of making Jesus Lord of your life. And you will be challenged to what you believe one day. I'm asking you, make your decision and your resolve clear today, and then walk it out every day. Teach your families to expect persecution. Endure persecution. Embrace persecution. Expect it. It will happen. Don't be caught off guard when it comes. But when it does, you will endure it, church. Don't get angry. Don't strike back. Don't get defensive. Just love. You have been called to love and embrace it. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Church, we cannot settle for being a blend-in, average, cultural Christian family in America. God has called His church to more. We have been called to be Christ-centered in everything we do. Why? Because we were created for His glory. I pray that God will remodel your home and bless your home. I believe God wants our homes blessed so that they can make a difference in the world around us, and that we can bring glory to His name. Church, there are moments I don't believe I'm a prophet per se, but I'm telling you, the signs are very clear. It's coming in a way that our church and all churches need to be prepared for what's about to happen. In church, I believe this is timely. I cannot tell you a day, but listen. When it comes, I want this church to not only expect it, but to endure it and embrace it. I don't know what other churches are going to do. I don't know what other Christians are going to do. But you know the truth. You have a question, you can walk in fear of it coming, or you can just expect it and go, you know what? That just comes because I bear His name. You know what? Because I do bear His name, I will endure it. In fact, I will embrace it because I want to bring glory to Him. Church, this is not a game. This is people's eternity. Your eternity. Your family's eternity. Your friends' eternity. Weighs in the balance of how you're going to walk. I don't want a hypocritical church that says one thing and acts out another. I want to lead a church. I want to lead a life that is matches up with God's word. Church, we have a choice. I want my family blessed. I want your family blessed. And that's why I tell you the truth. Pastor Matt, would you come? I don't know about you, but some are persecuted for all kinds of reasons and all kinds of things. Persecution hits because sometimes the way we walk or the way we talk or the things we do. The church, I'm going to bear His name. I had somebody ask me after first service, how can I do this? Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions. I'm not saying do these things. I'm just suggesting ways. I think one of the ways to begin to set your resolve early on is you need to bear His name. For instance, you go to a meal and you're sitting there and your waitress or waiter comes and when you're getting ready for prayer time, why don't you ask their name and we're going to pray for you. And we're just going to pray to God and ask in the name of Jesus that you can be blessed. People say, I don't want to bless my waiter. Why wouldn't you want them blessed? And why wouldn't you want to plant a seed? Church, it's very simple because you just set the resolve for that day. I had a waitress the other day. I was praying over a meal, and they kind of kept doing their thing. Just bless them. Begin to pray for them. Pray for their lives. When you're checking out, just tell people, "Yeah, Lord bless you today. I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord." They go, "What?" And if you get a moment to share, great. If not, you just seed plant. But what you've done is you've set your resolve already that you bear His name. That's who you are. And if persecution comes, blessed are you because you expect it. See? And you endure it. You embrace it because you bear His name. Next week, I want to wrap this up. Church, I'll be honest, I'm struggling a little bit today with how to close. Because I want something dynamic to happen. I don't want just the norm. And next week, I'm believing that we're going to be able to make a resolve in our families like we never have, that it's going to be remodeled so when people look, they look and go, "Wow, that's different." And they may even say, "What did you do?" And you can tell them. Church, we've got to remodel our lives, and they've got to look like Jesus. Our homes need to look like Jesus. We were driving through neighborhoods, and I say stuff, and I know I step on toes, and I do ask you to forgive me, but the Holy Spirit may be saying this, but Halloween, we don't decorate for Halloween. We drove around Pastor Scott's neighborhood, and I'm like, "Really? Man, so much money invested to make your yard look horrible. Spider webs everywhere, tombstones. Like, we used to not want to go to graveyards, and now we put them in our front yards." I drive by, and I can honestly tell you, I pretty much know what that represents. We represent something totally different. Church, we're different than the world. It's okay. It's okay. My heart breaks because I know the world has so much attraction. And we want to look like our neighbors. That's fine if they're Christ-centered. But if they're not, you're going to look different. I bear a name. Church, you come here every week, and I stand here as a pastor. I stand here as a leader. And you want my life to be different. You look to me. At least that's the way I feel. Maybe you don't. But church, I'm looking to you. You're my brothers and my sisters. And I need us all as the family of God. Kick it up a notch. And say, "You know what? We're going to represent Christ well. I need you to. I need you to. You need me to." Amen? All right, Heavenly Father, this morning, I pray your Spirit would somehow minister to your church, and God, that we would desire to become more Christ-like in everything we do. Lord, I pray that we would get serious about our faith. I want to be a better spiritual leader. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better pastor. Lord, I want to be a better witness to my friends. I want to be Christ-centered in everything I do. God, I pray that you would conform us into the image of Christ. I pray we would have great influence around those who gather around us. Lord, I pray you cause us to rise up to the higher calling. Allow us to fall in love with you deeper and be empowered by your Spirit every day. Lord, help us to expect persecution, to endure persecution, and to embrace it for your glory. I gladly bear your name. And I thank you for the name of Jesus. Amen.